I'll pull up the agenda to start us off.
Ah, shoot.
Okay, hopefully you all can see that.
Hello. Sorry, Mark, I'm a little late.
Okay. Can you all see the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. David, do you want to start us off with the introductions?
Sure, great. David, council co-chair, community co-chair. So let me go down my little list. Let's just say introductions and a role in our council. So first on my list, I have Kevin. Wait, Kevin is missing. Ed.
Hello, Ed Chitty and co-chair membership.
All right. Next, I have, who else is on here? Irma.
Hi, Irma Parada with co-chair.
All right. And then I have here Thomas.
Hey, Thomas Noble, they, them pronouns, government co-chair. David, are you doing introductions right now?
Yeah.
Would you mind not sharing screen so I could Brady Bunch it? Does that make sense?
You can Brady Bunch it by hitting the gallery view. It's the right hand at the top left of your of where the faces are. You'll see one that has 9 squares. Just hit that one. You'll be able to see
it. When I do that, Mark, and it this is up, it just allows me to see 6 people.
You can then adjust your screen to make it larger. Like
gotcha. Stuff. That's what was wrong. Sorry. Thank you for the technical assistance.
Yeah, no worries. It's a brand new world for a lot of us.
to be honest, Thomas, now that you talked about that, I just did it. I'm like, oh, that's how you do that. So I just
thank you. That. I just feel a little like 52 years old all of a sudden.
All right. So next on my list, I have Juba. Oh, you're muted, Juba. Sorry.
Juba Kalamka, he, him, them, they, community member.
Awesome. And then I have Valerie. Oh, you're muted. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. Hi, Valerie, council staff.
Great. And then I have on my list Melina.
Hey, Melina Clark, council staff.
Dave?
David Jordan, council staff.
And then I see Kevin's back.
Yes, Kevin Hutchcroft, HHS.
Awesome. And then Mark, of course.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
And our invited guest today, Hannah, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Hannah Yord, Department of Public Health.
Awesome. Is that everyone on the list?
We had Derek join us as well.
Oh, where is he? There he is. Derek, sir, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Derek Mapp, council member.
Fantastic. All right, so that should be everybody on the call today. And then Mark, do we have quorum today right now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So moving forward, just reviewing the agenda for today's meeting really quickly. If there's no changes for the agenda, I'd like to approve by consensus. All right. Seeing that there's no objection, I'll move forward. Then also,
oh, I'm sorry. I have to correct myself. Since we actually have neither Ben nor Eric, we don't have quorum because we don't have a representative from community engagement unless engagement. One of them is on that committee. Juba, are you on?
Yes, I'm on community engagement, yeah.
Okay, we have representatives from all committees. We have quorum.
Great, awesome, great. So then just review the draft minutes from last meeting on September 24th. I'll give it a minute.
We have to approve the agenda itself first.
Oh, yeah, sorry. If there's no changes to the agenda, I'd like to approve by consensus.
The only change is an addition to item 10. I'd like to also discuss determine the date since we have two to choose from. We should also discuss what will have to be kind of a last minute trade out. We probably should do this sooner than when Council Affairs reconvenes. So let's just add that. This meeting tends to end early, so we probably still won't go over, but that might be an additional couple minutes.
Okay, that's a number 10?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. Well, just with that change, I'd like to approve draft agenda for today. Great. Right. So now review of the draft minutes from the September 24th meeting.
So we'll see here from items 1 through 7, all of our pro forma stuff, different updates from CHIP, HHS, the committee then we had the second review of the EPI presentation. This one was included the data that was unable to provide the prior committee. And then we had our resource allocation scenarios for flat, increased, and decreased funding, all approved and forwarded to the full council. And then we went over our evaluation, and that was pretty much it. Anyone have any part that they want to review closer? Otherwise, I'll stop share. Okay, stopping share.
Thank you. So if there's no amendments or any other additions or subtractions from the minutes, I'd like to also approve those by consensus. Fantastic. And then I see that Elaine joined us. Hey, Elaine, really quick introduction of yourself before we move forward. Oh, you're muted. Sorry, lady.
Unmute myself. There we go. Sorry for joining in late, you guys. I had an emergency meeting with my co-chairing here in San Francisco. I'm Marin. So I'm here though. And I'm gonna give my video a try because I've been having problems with my little notebook. So
right.
I'll try to stick as long as I can.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you. It's good to have you here, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. So moving forward, any announcements? No. All right, so forward. Yes.
Hey, sorry, I'm gonna need to leave a little before 4 o'clock today.
Okay, great, awesome. Cool, public comments? I don't think anybody's here for public comments. Great, moving forward. All right, so now CHAP and HHS updates. Let's start with HHS.
Hello, everyone. Let's see. Mark, were we going to discuss the carry forward developments in my update?
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay. So I just wanted to, I brought this up with the co-chairs, and we need to bring it up here in steering. There was some developments I need to report about the carry forward request. You may recall we had an unobligated balance of $349,644 in Ryan White Part A, and then another $60,000 in MAI funds. And you will recall that we had the idea to hold in reserve some of those dollars. I think it was about just under $200,000 total. That was Part A and MAI funds, with anticipated additional needs in the fall for the second pandemic wave. I mean, we've all thought that it was a fine idea. I personally had doubts that HRSA would approve it, but we forged ahead anyhow. And in fact, the project officer was favorably disposed to it and even offered phrasing suggestions for how we frame the letter requesting the carry forward. And then several weeks after we submitted the whole package, and it's quite an involved package, we got a call from our project officer saying that will need to be changed. Apparently he consulted with some of his hierarchical superiors, and they weren't too keen on the idea. And they requested that we change it that very day, in fact. So there wasn't a lot of time to put it together. What in fact we did was move the amount of money that we had in reserve to the same three categories that we also allocated the carry forward. That is emergency financial assistance, which went from 100,000 to 180,000. Food or meals, from a little over 42,000 to 102,000. And incentive vouchers from 50,000 to $67,644. So basically we just allocated that 150,000 in Part A funds and 60,000 in MAI funds and just allocated it to the same categories. In fact, MAI was not changed at all. We had allocated that for incentive vouchers. We held that in reserve about 30,000. So instead of 30,000, it's 60,000. Not a big change there. In terms of the service categories. But anyway, we felt like we needed to bring this back to you just for informative purposes, I think, because it's really too late to do anything about it. It was just HRSA's word, and we kind of have to accept it. So there you have it. Let's see. By way of other HHS, we're going to begin the QM trainings. We're going to have a conversation about that now, or are we going to do that later, Mark?
Mark, you're muted.
Oopsie. We'll do that in the second to last agenda item when we talk about
November. I'll hold off on that. I think that's enough for now.
Sorry, Kevin, that first item, I didn't quite understand. Something was rejected. You had to put something together really quickly.
No, it wasn't rejected. Yeah, it hasn't been approved yet. What happened was early in the process, relatively, our project officer, Lenny, had advocated on our behalf to hold. Do you remember, Thomas, that we were holding some funds, the carry forward dollars in reserve, to meet and to stay nimble, essentially, to identify needs as they might arise during the second wave. Turns out we're not able to do that.
Gotcha.
We just had to reallocate that to those three categories: food, EFA, and vouchers.
Thank you for that. That's what I was missing, that one little piece. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Is that it, Kevin? Or I thought you had a second announcement. Oh no, it's for later on. Any other questions or point of clarification for Kevin? All right. Thomas, sir.
All righty. So obviously Hannah is on the call. So we have a big old vote coming up on Monday that we're all very excited about. Yay. So I'll let Hannah handle that on the agenda. The HIV counselor, Hep C and STD folks, we had a meeting last week for the first time in many, many months with regards to the beginning of COVID. And so we're starting to kind of de-thaw those particular services and starting, some of the agencies have been providing HIV, Hep C, and STD screening in the community, but it has been very slow and very little. So folks are now starting to engage in that process, and we will be doing a training sometime in the next 4 weeks to start to meet the need of actually maintaining that particular workforce. So it's kind of exciting and a little bit overwhelming because we're still kind of in the middle of COVID activation processes. And staffing is relatively scant, but we will figure it out. We are also hosting a drug user symposium next week on the 27th and 28th. So this is part of our, we had a small grant from NACHO to do some support of overdose prevention in other parts of the US. And so we're excited about that, and I can send out the links to that and the registration if folks are interested in actually attending that. It's just going to be 4 different 2-hour sessions on various issues that impact people who use substances. And we're basically trying to spread the wealth throughout the United States about our approach and how things work. And we've partnered heavily with the Harm Reduction Coalition folks. So, and they've been great to work with around that. And then also just there has been a grant proposal that has been put out for COVID work. So it actually was released yesterday. And so I would we would want to distribute that as far as possible. It's not quite it's not the traditional RFP process, just because what we wanted to do is make the process as accessible to small community-based organizations that aren't the traditional players in the DPH system to kind of reach the populations that have the highest disparities with regards to COVID. So, but that is released. And so we're kind of excited about that. Obviously, it took a little bit of work to make happen. And I'm not really familiar with the dollar amount on that. But Hannah, do you know by any chance on the one that was released, the grant proposal yesterday? I can find out. So,
yeah, I'm not sure I can find out. I'm gonna look right now.
Cool. And then the 28 million that the mayor put out a few weeks ago with regards to COVID work and addressing the disparities within the Latino community is out. It's being put into place. And so our office has been engaged in helping monitor those contracts and trying to get things in place as soon as possible so we can actually respond to that particular disparity as well. So specifically most of the, about 50% of the COVID infections are happening among Latinos in the city and county of San Francisco. And the majority of those Latinos are monolingual Spanish speaking. Sweet, and yeah. Any questions on any of that? All righty.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. That's a lot. All right. Now going on to committee and group reports. Let's see, who do I hear? Community engagement? Any?
So if Juba would like to report on that, but if you don't feel comfortable, Juba, I'm sure Dave can.
I do not.
Dave, would you mind? Dave? All right, maybe he's
stepped. Yeah, one second. Just sometimes it takes a second for a fella to unmute himself. Calm down.
So calm. Very calm. Look at this calm face.
You're about to move on. You're just going to move on. I can sense it in your tone. So.
Okay. You got me.
Honestly, there's not a lot to report. We went over the HCAP report. I don't think there was anything especially out of the ordinary that was brought up. Melina was also there. She, if anything occurs to her, I encourage her to weigh in as well. And then we discussed where we were with the needs assessment and the COLA. I will remind you, the needs assessment is on transitional age youth, and the current COLA is on Brazilian and or Portuguese speakers. Both of those are underway. So we're a little bit slower. Ordinarily, we would have completed those already, but we had some additional challenges because of distance, need to sort of keep distance and COVID. So that's where we're at. Our goal is to have this wrapped up by the end of the year. Any questions? Melina, did anything I didn't cover?
I don't think so. I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
Great. Awesome, Dave. So Council Affairs, that would be me, and I do not even remember what we did. I think we just went through the today's presentations, and I think that's it, right, Mark?
We did we went over the county presentations.
Yeah, county presentations today, right. It was a pretty short meeting. I can't remember anything else that we did that was outside of the ordinary.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, all right. And then membership committee update.
This co-chair of membership was having breathing problems and having a breathing treatment and could not attend.
All right.
Don't think Elaine was able to attend either.
I can provide an update, right, and hopefully Dave and Melina and Valerie can help me out if I missed anything. Of course, now I have a blank. We did the regular attendance report and took into consideration that there have been a number of government appointees and at least one service provider who's been activated for COVID-19 response. We also did, okay, Dave or Melina, would you mind helping me out here?
Yeah, I think the item that was took up the largest amount of time was we revisited the conversation around multiple council members either sitting on the council, coming from applying to the council or potentially applying to the council from the same agency or agencies within the same funding stream. And that was, Mark, would you like to fill that in? I feel like you had more of a...
Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing was that we really make sure to have within the policy itself what we've been doing all along, which was to, as Dave mentioned, really take in consideration whether there are challenges or any kind of implicit conflicts with an agency having more than one, two, or three representatives, even if they come from different parts of the agency, there's still that potential financial conflict of interest. And so, you know, as I stated, this is a conversation that happens every time a council member is brought for a particular, for specific interviews. Dave always informs membership if there is that conflict, but it hasn't been actually encapsulated in the policy language. And so now it was. That didn't need to be really voted on because it wasn't necessarily a substantive change. It was just pointing out what we've been doing all along. So I think, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. As far as that conversation goes, it was a long one and it's been across multiple meetings, but I do feel that the conversation and perhaps the challenges around that have been hopefully resolved. Included in that was a quick overview that Ali provided of which council members who are either service providers or government appointees are coming from where. And so membership was apprised on who specifically is representing particular government entities and who's specifically coming from certain service providers. And I think that was it. Melina, Valerie, am I missing, or David, am I missing anything? No? Yeah, I think that was the bulk of the conversation as Dave portrayed. It was put to bed.
So you don't think it's going to raise its ugly head again?
It might raise its, it's just, I don't know about ugly, but certainly, you know, bed head in the future. But hopefully not. You know, it was a surprisingly long conversation for something that we have been doing all along. But that's how conversations have to evolve sometimes, is it have to be really explained and re-explained as time marches on. And sometimes that means we also have to make sure that what we've been doing all along is actually encapsulated in our policy language.
Thank you.
So if it does rear its bed head again, we'll just point to the policy and say, yo, this is what's happening and what's been happening.
Thank you. And thanks for that. And thanks for that, Mark. It's really about sort of like transparency, you know, and I think we're not as approachable as we are, as like we used to be. I want to make sure that we do maintain transparency at all times with this process, since we're all sort of so detached, you know, where usually we can just engage with each other and be like, what is this? What's going on? It's not as easy anymore. I know I don't answer emails or phone calls like I used to. So,
same.
Yeah, so totally. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Okay, if that's it for all the committee and group reports, any questions, Elaine?
Yeah, I only had one because I'm dealing with this kind of like the same situation here. And I really do apologize for not showing up on the last membership. Marina's been having some difficulties here with new members and stuff. So I've been really at work as a co-chair here and figuring out and doing that. And the one thing that I've noticed that I have to be doing, and due to this subject you guys are talking about, is there a way that we can get like a send out to every member of the membership for those policy and procedures or the bylaws on what it is? The rules for that, Mark, like getting
are you asking that so that you'll be able to in some ways bring that back to Marin to help inform your process?
No, for what we're discussing here with the providers and affiliated with other agencies and stuff. So is there a way that we can get that information, the bylaws or the policy procedures?
Oh yeah, absolutely. If neither Ed nor you were at that meeting, I'd be happy to send on the documents that actually were reviewed and that were updated. So I'll send you the document that Allie put together. Kudos to Allie, that actually, so you'll know who is coming from what specific agency or department within city government. And I'll also send you the updated policy itself.
Yeah, and that'd be great. And then we can hopefully put this all to bed and just make everybody understand what the policy and the procedure are for that ruling that we've done. So, I mean, yeah, I would like that to be sent out.
I'll send it to both of you for sure.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Mark.
Yes?
I think when we've got, just from my perspective, when we've had people coming from, multiple people coming from the same agency, if we've not been given a heads up on an alert, I've assumed that there was no conflict. Is that a safe assumption?
I think so, yes. First of all, you're always giving a heads up if someone is coming as a second, third, or more person from the same agency, always. Mm-hmm. A conflict of interest is perhaps not always specifically discussed, but I usually like to bring it up during our interview breakdowns when it comes to a specific conflict. It's not necessarily something like, let's say you have multiple applicants coming from different agencies. Conflict of interest isn't necessarily something that needs to be discussed at that point. But sometimes I like to just bring it up so that you're aware that this person will have this area of expertise, mental health, because they work at a mental health provider. And that will then, you should then assume that even though they'll have that expertise, they're also going to have that conflict. So it'll come up always in the course of conversation, whether it's called conflict or not, as what they're representing as far as their own personal or actually professional expertise. But of course, if it's more than one, as always, we'll always be notifying you. But you know, that's a different, those are two different things. Conflict of interest and, is one thing. And then the potential of a agency having more than one representative is another.
So if I can just add one little detail to that, This doesn't just happen at interviews or committee. This happens from the time a person is applying. You know, we're already looking at this critically to ensure that, and we've had people who we haven't turned away anyone. Anyone who applies goes forward to the membership council if they choose to continue. That said, for instance, we do have a member, Ney, who is a Ashanti staff member, but he does not work in a HIV related program, and he is not on the council as an HIV service provider. He's actually on the council as a consumer of prevention services and an affected community member. So those are the kind of nuances that we're looking at around this kind of stuff, and that happens from the application process on. Mm-hmm. So
I thought y'all had been pretty good about, you know, weeding that out and queuing us in before. That was, I guess, why I was surprised that this was such a large topic, consuming a lot of time.
Yeah, I think it surprised a number of us. But again, like David said, transparency is important. So even if it's something that's happened all along, it doesn't hurt us to go over what we've been doing all along.
Right. So if there's no further questions on this topic, would like to move on to the next agenda item. I see that Shelley has joined us in the meeting. If that's about it, I'd like to close this off and move on to the next one, just because, you know, it's a pretty big presentation. Ending the epidemic's draft plan, we have Hannah on board and Shelley, so please take it away.
Oh, I thought I was early. Good timing. Thanks, everyone.
Would you mind sharing screen?
Sure. I think Hannah is actually going to do the presentation for you all today. I will probably do it on Monday for everyone, but it'll be the same exact presentation. And so she's going to go ahead and share.
Yeah, hold on. I have too many screens up. Hang on. All right. Everyone can see that okay?
No, I don't. Oh, you see? Oh. I don't see anything.
You don't see it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, let's try this again. How about now?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That works.
Yep. There. You got it.
Okay. So yeah, it is a pretty lengthy presentation. So definitely let us know if it's too much. So as you know, the plan itself, which is almost in its final form, thanks to Shelley and her team, is almost 100 pages long. And so I did include some information in here that has been presented before, but it's never a bad idea to have reminders. So, but again, let me know if it's too much detail and we can edit for Monday. So we're gonna just quickly go over again what ending the HIV epidemic is, the four pillars, overall goals. And stop me if I go too fast. I'm just gonna kind of flip through what you've seen before. You know, building on the roadmap and all the work of these existing initiatives and partners and plans. And then here's an updated timeline, just showing where we started when we got the planning grant, and then the HRSA funding for ETE that started in March, and then all the community engagement that happened, and then the CDC funding, et cetera. And Shelley can go through this on Monday in detail. And this goes all the way until December, which is when we have to submit the plan, which is a living document. The populations of focus are people living with an at-risk for HIV, Hep C, and STIs, with special focus on Black and African Americans, Latinos, Latinas, Latinx, trans women, people who use drugs, people experiencing homelessness, people with incarceration experience youth and young adults and the aging population living with HIV. Then the really this the whole plan is integrating HIV, Hep C, and STIs, and then there are cross-cutting themes. And there's a lovely little figure here that has been updated. So the root causes are structural racism. I think we need to add cisgenderism and economic inequality in the middle. And then with the cross-cutting themes of homelessness and housing instability, behavioral health, access to treatment and prevention, new challenges for older people living with HIV, incarceration, and then the effects of COVID-19. These are the values and the principles, advancing health equity and racial justice, integration, eliminating stigma and discrimination, ensuring low barrier services, valuing lived experience and peer delivered services, not just valuing, but funding, and then valuing human dignity. These were the frameworks used for planning and they will be used for implementation as well. So looking at social determinants of health, using a whole person care approach, trauma-informed prevention and care, harm reduction, continuous quality improvement, and RBA, and then status-neutral planning and services. So we're wrapping up PS 1919-06, that's the grant number, the planning process. So finalizing the plan, which has been a very collaborative effort with all the various partners and stakeholders. And then we funded these different organizations here, and maybe that's not super clear, to do more expanded community engagement with, so the AIDS Project of the East Bay with Black African Americans, Cost Data Collective with Latinos, Latinas, and Latinx. And they did the Latino Action Plan 10 years ago. And then SFCHC did engagement with trans women and people experiencing homelessness. I had to reorganize this, it's confusing. And then San Francisco Drug Users Union of people who use drugs and people experiencing homelessness. And we'll have information in later slides about some key themes. And then so hopefully on the 26th, we'll get the full council's concurrence on the plan so that we can then submit it to the CDC and it will be reviewed by all the federal partners. There are some key themes from the engagement that the funded grantees did. Do you all want me to read the quotes today or do you want to read them on your own later? What would you prefer? I don't know what preference in these meetings.
No, we can just move forward.
Move forward, okay. So need for representation, here are some direct quotes. Outreach and stigma, here are some direct quotes as well. Need for safety and security, care that is available and accessible, some quotes, simplified care access and community building. And then there's been a lot of focus on COVID-19, of course. And there was some specific feedback that we got during the engagement activities. So access to medications has been a lot more difficult. The fact that virtual provision of healthcare, so telehealth, is a new normal, but it's not accessible to everybody for various reasons. And then there are significant concerns about what will happen to communities that have been relocated or have been housed or moved around, et cetera, after the pandemic or after they no longer have those housing options. And then there were specific comments around those themes we just went over. So using other methods besides phones and telehealth to do outreach. And then the community building is especially even more important now due to isolation. There have been a lot of focus and activity around COVID-19 related to HIV, Hep C, and STIs that the Getting to Zero Consortium and Hep CSF have ongoing work groups that talk about this. and then happen as well in the Bing Grand Rounds, et cetera, and some protocols released by the San Francisco Community Clinic Consortium. And so year one of implementation of ETE activities will really be looking at how do we adjust to the new normal and use the funding where most needed. An update on HRSA ETE funding. So HIV health services were funded $1 million starting March 1st. And this is a 5-year grant with the hope that it will increase in subsequent years. Then there was additional funding for primary care clinics, and Mission Health, Area Health Associates got some money, and the Clinic Consortium as well, and that went to HealthRight 360. These are also 5-year grants starting March 1st. CDC funding, also a 5-year grant, and that should not say March 1st because that's a mistake. It's August 1st. It got delayed because of COVID, but it's 5 years, about $2.7 million per year with amounts that might increase. The two components, the main component was $2.3 million, and then component C is specifically for City Clinic. There are 8 of those grants around the country, and it's focusing on expanding and enhancing integration of STIs and HIV prevention at STI clinics. So they got $450,000 this year. And then some information about what they're gonna be doing. And I'll try to skip through, you all can read on your own maybe. Yeah, okay. Skipping through, they'll do lots of things, assessments and such. And then again, let me know if you want all these details or not, but this is specifically what they are gonna use the money for. So, you know, you can let me know what slides to take out or what details to take out. And also for transparency, again, if you don't need it, let me know, but these are the DPH positions that will be funded. So there are about 11 FTEs total. And of course, when we did the majority of the funding and wrote the applications, things looked very different. So we are thinking about and talking about whether we need all these city positions, if some of them can be used differently while achieving what we said we would still do. So one example is this, this stabilization room case manager. So maybe that could be something that could be provided by a CBO or used differently to support people in retaining housing. So yeah, there we go. So there are 22 activities in the plan. They are all listed here and then by pillar. So again, I can skip through. It's a lot of information. What do you want me to do? Read them or skip?
Any thoughts from the group? What do you prefer?
I think
right? Yeah. What's that, Mark? I'm sorry.
I think skip is fine.
Okay.
Skip. The second time we're seeing this, yeah.
Yep. Skip. Skip.
I think while you're skipping, it might just be worth saying that, you know, CDC requires these pillars and as if these are sort of distinct silos without overlap. And so one of the reasons that we put it in a table like this, of course, there's, you know, very many of those 100 pages are all the details of what these really mean and what they would really look like of this plan. But this summarizes and we attempted to show that sometimes there's overlap. You don't see it on this slide, but on the prior one, you know, there are some things that obviously fall into multiple pillars. And so I think for San Francisco's perspective on kind of how it actually works in practice, we don't think of these pillars in the way that CDC does. So there's a bit of tension there, but you know, I just think it's worth pointing that out.
Thanks, Shelley. Okay. Some formatting issues. Okay, so the next few slides are looking at year one activities and what we propose to do with the HRSA and the CDC funding. again by pillars. So this is what was proposed that we would actually fund using this money. So the first one is an integrated mobile health access point. So they're culturally specific and mobile and provide testing and referrals to treatment and harm reduction supplies and possibly telehealth and mobile prep. And they will specifically be in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood and be provided by CBOs using blended funding from HRSA and CDC. And then a clinical champion at the hospital that would increase referrals to testing and assessment for PrEP as well, and referrals for PrEP. And then the public health detailing staff that will be working with the clinical champions in various clinics, hospitals, and also at navigation centers and shelters. And then we're funding more self-tests. So there's the Take Me Home mailed HIV and STI self-testing program. So we're paying for kits and then also paying for texting services and web-based and telehealth services to remind people about testing, PrEP, the Take Me Home program, and also some money for a cell phone pilot to support people as they are in care. And then for TREAT, there is a jail health navigator that will provide status neutral services to link folks and start working with people before they are released from jail and after. And then there's a gender health navigator that will provide services for people seeking gender affirming surgeries. And then we want to expand the links model to include housing, behavioral health, intensive case manager, and mobile services. It may not be links necessarily, but building on the strong model that exists. And then there's a new EPI person who will help as well. It's a very busy slide. It's good practice. There's funding, a lot of funding for UCSF's pop-up clinic at Ward 86, both ambulatory care, outpatient mental health through Alliance Health Project. And then there's clinical case management at Trans Access Program and H-Home as well. And then we're going to fund, we're going to pilot mobile contingency management for people who use meth. And then we had talked about funding stabilization rooms and SROs and have that case manager, but we don't know. We have to look at what are the needs now because housing looks very different these days, but there's funding available for that. And then also we're funding street medicine staff. They don't have a team lead, so that's one position, and then medical doctor hours. Prevent activities. One of the positions is a youth sexual health ambassador who will be help support what we're hoping will be a youth advisory council. And then incentivized mobile PrEP, inpatient testing and PrEP champion is the same person as described in another slide. Expanding the PrEP program at City Clinic. Again, the mobile contingency management is also a PREVENT activity. Increasing syringe access and disposal services in Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood, and expanding harm reduction services at various housing sites. And then also we are gonna be working with Alameda County and possibly other surrounding counties to develop a regional PrEP approach. And then for RESPOND, it's very prescriptive what we have to do around cluster detection and response. And so a lot of it, they told us what we have to do. There will be some staff. I put the first staff person in parentheses because it's not coming out of any of the funding. It is a recent public health graduate that will be assigned from CDC to help with cluster work and a CDC FB person. So yeah, lots of systems, data system stuff and collaboration, et cetera. I would say the last bullet point is, well, it's something that we added from the community engagement work, just really needing to have educational materials that do not instill fear or worry about surveillance, and that talk about what cluster detection is about and just surveillance in general. And so we want to work closely with the funded CBOs to develop any materials for ETE and specifically around data surveillance and clusters. To expand on community engagement, we've heard this before, but we heard this especially with the community engagement activities that were funded with this grant, is that community members didn't just want to be part of focus groups or answer surveys or be part of just like a short-term project, but wanted to be involved with all of the different levels of developing programs, planning, implementation, evaluation, et cetera, and also get access to various educational activities and leadership skill building, and also have paths to careers in public health. And so we have this vision of developing a DPH Community Health Leadership Institute, and really work with the grantees and other community experts and other academic experts to help develop this leadership institute, develop the next generation of public health leaders, and then connect all of the various programs that already exist. So it's going to be a lot of formative work, but we're very excited about it. Come on, computer. There'll be ongoing funding. This is one of the requirements and also something we want to do, and it's to continue to fund community engagement activities. So the agencies that we already worked with submitted proposals for community advisory processes or CAPS. And so there will be Leading from Within for trans women, Leading from within for people experiencing homelessness, The Messenger Matters for Black African-American communities, and that's a community advisory board. And then some community-based participatory action research for Latino, Latinx communities, and then a community advisory team for people who use drugs. And so that funding, at least 50% has to go, that these organizations get, has to go directly to community members. And there may be some additional grantees, but we are not sure yet. We're waiting to see. And all of these CAPS include workforce development activities for their participants. Some questions we have, there are many questions, but just some of the big ones. How do we ensure that racial equity is at the forefront of our services? How do we ensure that the planning activities meet the immediate needs related to the COVID pandemic? And what is missing? There's a steering committee meeting. Just not clear from the slide. It is the third Monday from 3 to 4. And we are figuring out what the purpose of that steering committee is. One is to connect all the various initiatives and share information back and forth. And another one, of course, is to strategize and make sure that we meet the goals and objectives in the plan. And then really we want to have as much community participation as possible so that community members and CBOs really help strategize on these activities. So this is a work in progress. Now that the planning process is over, the steering committee will have to take on a new role. So this is a visual that Shelley put together that's super helpful, just thinking about what I just said. We don't want to duplicate. We don't want to create another silo. We want to help with communication and collaboration, and then also include the various workforce development and community advisory processes. Any questions?
I think one thing that it might be worth adding that I didn't think of course, until now, but is that, you know, this plan is about 100 pages, and that's not something that most people, even very ambitious people, are going to actually read through. And we originally started kind of trying to make it very short and very brief so that more people would read it and it was more accessible, and ultimately decided if we're really going to include the detail that's needed to give this thing teeth and make it a useful plan for ending HIV, hepatitis C, and STIs in San Francisco in the next 5 years, we can't just do that in 20 pages. You know, we need to have the detail, but we are really committed to figuring out how to make it accessible. So part of what will be done in the next few months really is basically creating some different versions that are meant for public dissemination in a way that the 100-page plan is sort of going to be more of a reference document. So we've talked about creating like a 10 to 15 page version of this that gives an overview of kind of the overall strategies, almost like a mini strategic plan summary document that's meant for the general public. And then also working with those community engagement grantees that Hannah's mentioned to do a consumer facing version. We've talked about, you know, maybe it'll be sort of comic book style or maybe it'll be other things, but it's just really meant to be very, very community oriented and easy for people who aren't in kind of the public health realm to understand and digest. And then we're also going to be putting together a slide deck with a bunch of that's pretty graphic heavy and not dense slides heavy, that's really easy to translate and easy for our community partners to use and adapt and then help share the information about what's in the plan for their communities. So that is all of that is coming, and with the goal of making all of this a lot more accessible to the average person in San Francisco and not someone who will read a 100-page document. Yes, Mark?
So is now a good time to jump in with suggestions?
Yeah, should I stop sharing or do you need me to jump back to different?
I think you could stop sharing. I have your copy already up on my screen. Okay. So first of all, I just wanna say thank you. This obviously is a ton of work and it is a super ambitious and exciting plan. Kudos. This is really cool stuff that San Francisco is gonna be embarking upon. And especially with you keeping in mind that you don't want to duplicate stuff, you want this to be new and you want it to be within a racial justice and, dare I say, anti-racist framework. And like, that's really great of the moment stuff and it's exciting. Okay, so that's the positive. This does need to be cut down quite a bit. You only have about 25 minutes to actually portray this plan to get concurrence. And I think, because I assume everything in this slide deck is in that 100 pages. The council should not be in a place where it should ever be in any way micro, like looking at the micro. So certainly the council does not micromanage contracts and never should. And so to that end, there's a lot of slides that I would actually recommend just eliminating, because people can find that information in the report. What they need to know about are the broad strokes to make sure that those are being hit. And so to that end, I would actually cut all of those slides that specifically bullet point out what you're doing with each of those pillars. That's maybe 8-9 slides. That's all in the report. I mean, you can verbally list what you might find just to be the important things when you go to the slides that say pillars and say like, so for example, this will include medical case management or whatever the case might be. Just sort of wing it in the moment or use the notes on the slide, but I wouldn't use all those many slides, and that way you won't actually have to worry about reading every single bullet point, because that's gonna go over people's head. I shouldn't have done the swoosh thing. It's just gonna, everything's gonna get lost in the weeds, because these are all so many different kinds of modalities, most if not all kind of new to this process. We want people to understand your basic pillars and what they're gonna mean with this new funding. So that I think could eliminate a lot of slides. I didn't actually count them out, but certainly starting with slide, that wasn't a number. Well, anyway, all the pillars slide. I'd also say looking at slides.
Can I just ask one question? So sure. You're talking about the ones that list out what we're doing in year one. Is that what you're talking
Absolutely.
About?
So yes. Slides 27, 28, 29, 30, 32, 33, 34, all of that stuff is all going to be in the, well, maybe not 34 or 33, now that I think about it, let me consider those, but anything that details what's happening with the activities that's already in your report and you want to just, and you actually have them listed in broad terms already in slides 24, 25, and 26. I think that's all you need to really go over, and you can always refer back to the longer report that everyone has received via Melina if they want to know the specific modalities that those pillars are going to include, what the specific activities are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Some of it won't be in the plan itself if it's specific. Like there's some specific things for funding where we just say we're going to do medical case management for this population, but it may not say we're going to fund like H home, for example. So I didn't know how much like of those specifics you all for the council. Well,
yeah, I think we don't need that. And also, since you're mentioning that, I think the slides that are associated with how much money certain agencies are getting can all be eliminated. We don't deal with specific agencies and we should never be dealing with them. So either you shift that to just use the services that those agencies are provided, or you just eliminate it. Like say, for example, slide 18. To me, that can go. It's also an update for HRSA. 19.
So 18, are you talking about the second HRSA grant? So they're the grant recipients. So it's, I mean, that's just pulled from the HRSA website, but I can take it out. Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
How do members feel about that?
Because it's not money that we got as the health department in San Francisco and then gave to SF Community Clinic Consortium. They applied.
Oh, that's right. This was the other different silos. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're listed. I mean, that's public and they're listed on their website as receiving it directly from the Fed.
I think all we're trying to show is that there's this bigger picture of money that we're trying to coordinate funds that are out there. We're not distributing them. So that's the intent of the energy. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's partially part of the dialogue we had, I think, last year as well, as far as the three or four different sort of silos of ETE funding that these groups separately applied for, right? HHS, CHEP, consortium,
okay.
Fourth one as well. I mean, so you could include that, I suppose. So I admit I was in error on that one.
I can take out the reference to HealthRight 360 because they're the subcontractor of the consortium.
So the slide 20, when you talk about San Francisco City Clinic, is that like that to me is that's coming from your funding, right? The CHEP funding.
So no, so City Clinic applied.
Oh, so that was a separate
C. Okay. Yeah. So component A, I mean, it was all one application that, you know, we all put together, and then but component A is like the larger prevention and surveillance funding. And then component C was separate, and Stephanie Cohen and Trang wrote that application.
Okay. So let me ask you this, and maybe Kevin can help me with this, with my memory failing as it is. Is this a concurrence, a request for concurrence for all of the different four parties that put in separate applications, even though it was all within the one, or is it just—
Sorry, I've got to jump off, so I will, thank you, Nate. Always a pleasure and good seeing everybody else. And I will see folks next, some of you on Sunday and some of you on Monday.
Thanks,
Thomas. All right, take care.
Thanks, Thomas.
So back to my question, the concurrence that you're asking for, is this for the programs that CHEP itself will be coordinating, or is it for concurrence for all four of these areas?
It's for the plan itself. So I guess this presentation serves two purposes, and that's good that you're asking that. So one is to give an update of where we are with the funding, all DT funding, and to show how the plan we're asking for concurrence for is what's guiding the services we're funding, and how, you know, all of these activities that we're funding, both from the HRSA and CDC money, relates right back to the activities.
Then those should stay, since you're looking at this in an integrated way and you're looking for concurrence for an integrated plan, that's important for those things to stay, so that you have the four so that people are aware that these are all four, even though four separate entities applied for it, they all should be talking to each other and integrated. So I think that's important also in your messaging, because I think that got lost a little bit as you went through the slides, that even though you're mainly talking about one of the four, it is four, right? I'm getting that number correct, or is it five?
Yeah, so the activities that I talked about on the slides, you said that we should take out, you know, that talk about year one activities, yeah. They're funded by the HRSA money that went to HIV Health Services. They're funded by the CDC money that went to CHEP, and they're funded by the CDC money that went to City Clinic.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I think as long as you're portraying this then as, even though it's four different areas, they're not necessarily silos. If you look at these as activities that are coming from four different places, you could get more detail in the actual report, but these are the pillars that all these areas are actually working on together. So I think that will cut down a lot of stuff. I take back what I said about it as far as cutting down the other, those like slide 20 or something like that through 22, because I think that's important. I mean, if anything, you might even want to drill that down so that it's maybe one or two slides that say these are the four parts or the five parts, that really lands with people, that these are four or five different, not silos, areas that are working together in an integrated fashion. Because I think that gets lost unless that's very specifically portrayed to the council. You've been part of these dialogues before. There is confusion. Like, there have been people saying, well, how is it, like Bill just described something that doesn't sound at all like what Thomas described, because they're actually different, even though they're working together and talking to each other. So I think if you have a slide that says this, we're all working together on these subsequent pillars, and you can see activities in the report if you'd like. Then the other thing that popped up for me is, even though I'm always in favor of hearing from community voices, those are a number of slides. If you're including that in your report, I would actually take all of those out. So that could actually lead down to a kind of long and winding path as people process what individuals might have said as feedback. I mean, there's some important stuff there, but I'm not sure that's where the council should be looking at. They should be looking at the overall pillars of what these new activities will be doing. So if you could even reference, like, so we've had, you know, when you reference, like, you've had community feedback, if that's in your report, you could reference that this is all in the report if you'd like to hear feedback and concerns that the community has had. So I think hopefully with boiling down the different areas into maybe one slide as succinct as possible, maybe taking away all the different slides that describe the activities within each pillar, and maybe taking away the consumer quotes, that might get you down to 30 slides, because that's sort of, I think that would be my goal for this presentation, so that it could be processed within 25 minutes to still allow for questions.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. Thank you. Quick question before I forget, because my memory's not the best these days. For the community engagement activities and the grantees, would it be possible for them to come and do their own presentation?
Yes, fantastic. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Great. Definitely.
Love it. Yeah, and actually, the council always wants more of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. I feel that as a community sort of body, I think we should have that separate to reinforce the messaging that's coming from those other community planning bodies as well.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, sounds good.
Can I so I think we need to define concurrence, because that's a very specific. It doesn't mean that you agree 100%, but it basically means that you concur that the epidemic, the funds are going towards the epidemic. So it should be said more eloquently than that, but it's different than what people actually think it means. Does that make sense? Can anybody help me out on this?
Yeah, I mean, the concurrence we have to get, I think, has pretty specific language. Shelly, you and I can look at that. And I did have another question about that, because at one point we all talked about this plan becoming the new integrated plan.
Yep.
And so I don't know if that a separate conversation, or is that part of this concurrence? I don't know how that all works.
I think that's a separate conversation. My understanding is that the funders would like concurrence with the large scale, broad general strokes of your response, of your plan. Maybe not the specific details about how that is, because again, not doing contract management, concurring with the goals of the project.
That's what I was trying to articulate. So it's the broad stroke and the larger goals.
So that's actually what you're proposing during this meeting. Hopefully what you've gone through isn't actually new to people, because these things have actually been discussed across multiple meetings, you know, even starting last year. They haven't been as organized as well as in this particular presentation. And I think a lot of it is also new, because it's been things that have been developed all along. So like what you're asking for right now, literally from this steering body, is for someone to move to support concurrence with the goals of the plan that you've all just seen. So
the other piece that I just want to put into the mix quickly is there's a little bit of danger with regards to, so we got too much information, right? Then we push the pendulum back to cut back information, and then there might be council members. So when you do a presentation, there's always this nuance. If you give them too much, they ask for less. If you give them less, they ask for more. So if that energy comes up, during the council, I would love this body of leadership to kind of say, we agreed that too much information, there is more information, it's out there. We actually asked Hannah and Shelley to give us less information. So that is on us. Does that make sense? So I just don't want to put them in this position where they're responding to our feedback and then they get feedback saying, that was too short, or I want the details, especially some of our council members like those more granular details, right? So I just want to try to prevent that particular misstep.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to push back a little bit on where maybe that question is coming from. Again, like there is no, whether it's HHS or CHEP, there is no particular kind of response to prevention or care that goes into detail of all of the specific modalities that are actually involved. That's, again, that's not what the council does. The council is supposed to be looking at the general goals, and for the prevention side, supposed to be looking at specific behavioral risk populations, for the care side, for specific service categories. So if someone does want to go in the weeds, I mean, what David as facilitator could do is, of course, automatically refer them to the plan, but beyond that, the goal is really like, do you agree with these goals? You know what I mean? It's not necessarily about the specific, like, the council members should have actually nothing to say on, well, are you going to hire this position or this kind of position or that kind of position? That's for DPH to be doing.
Yeah.
That's for the council.
I get that. I just want this body to exercise their leadership position in this decision. It's a big decision, and just say, you know, and being a steering member and being leadership on this council, we recommended this amount of information be shared at this particular point. And you can add in the, it's not our job to go into the weeds. We have a particular role and lane. And that is this, so.
Yeah, and you know, also for the, people are seeing this for the first time, other than people who have been in steering. So it's not like people are, we're gonna be missing something that they've never seen before.
Okay, so if we wanted to get, because we do want people's guidance and leadership on where we allocate the money, and so, but I do hear you that that's not the, you know, the purpose of the council meeting or maybe even the council, but can we ask for that, or is that like a separate work group? Or?
You can definitely ask for that by inviting people into a work group. The work group. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually mentioned at the beginning that you're creating. Council members are quite used to being part of the granular detail, not within as far as like what the full council determines, but it actually is being a concerned part of the community, whether you're representing yourself as a council member or as a consumer, service provider, government person, absolutely. And I think you should make that a definite call out. And that's even how you might frame it, is like, if you're interested in actually looking at which positions are being funded, how we can better, like how we can have the most efficacious modalities involved, please come join our work groups. We need you, that kind of thing, you know? I mean, same thing happened on the care side with the centers of excellence. So when the Center of Excellence were created, there was a work group, you know, that was comprised of council members, DPH, service providers. They spent a long time together coming up with very specific modalities and how and what should be prioritized or not. Eventually, that all came together in a portrait of what a Center of Excellence was before the council, which simply voted on the goals and the overall pillars, I suppose you could say, that a Center of Excellence would ascribe to. Does that make sense? They were involved, but they were not... That was not a full council discussion. That was a work group discussion. Sorry, Derek, I didn't
mean to... Derek, did you have something?
No, just really simple and to tag off what this last point of the discussion was about, because I actually had written this down. Would the 10 to 15 members that is that already makes up your group, will they also be invited to the council meeting itself?
You're talking about the steering committee that we will be meeting? Yeah, so a lot of them, some of them are already part of the council. A lot of them are it's been very DPH heavy as well. So it started primarily as a grants management and then strategic planning group when we got the initial money. But so the co-chairs are part of the steering committee, but there are community folks on there that I should invite. So thank you for suggesting that so that they can come on Monday or,
But I would also suggest like if this works, like the idea of saying, please, you know, please support this effort, and this is the working group that we have around this. If there was a couple of ideas of this is the goals or the aims of this working group, and so people know what they're getting in themselves into as well. And it could be supported by the members that are already present in one council. I actually do support a lot of what's already been said, it actually sounds like it's shaping up to be a good presentation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So on my list, I only have like a few more minutes left for this because we're going over. So if there's any other input from Ed or Elaine, Irma, Juba?
All right, so then I would invite someone to move to support this plan as presented.
I would move for this plan as presented.
I'm sorry, Derek, it actually can't be you until you're approved by the mayor. Sorry.
Never mind.
I support it.
All right, is there a second to Irma?
I'll second it.
Okay.
I support.
All right, so Valerie, if you got that, Irma moved and Elaine supported. This doesn't involve CARE or CDC funds that specifically support the council. So you actually don't need to do, I don't need to do a roll call. David, you could just see if there is consensus.
Yeah, if there's consensus, I'd like to move forward with the motion to present to full council. Fantastic.
None opposed.
Okay. None opposed. Great.
Good job, great. Hannah and Shelley.
Thank you. All right, thanks for your support.
Before I move forward, you know, I forgot. Hey, Kevin, wasn't there like a slide that you and Dean had worked on that looked at sort of like the different funding that was supposed to be coming up? And that was last year.
In the epidemic, particularly.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, there was.
That's exactly the slide I was envisioning for big description for the council members. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's too late before Monday, but, you know, I think that would help sort of visualize what's going on. You know, it's like, it's not a pillar. It's like, all these things are happening at once. And this is sort of like the funneling of all that into something that's cogent and working together.
That would include the Ryan White. I'll have to see if I can put my finger on that. I do recall that discussion.
Yeah.
I think we had a product, didn't we?
Is it this one that's being
shown? Yeah, I thought it was in her presentation, actually.
I think it is, yeah. I think it might be it.
Is it this one?
That one.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we replace the ones, all the slides with all the different funding streams and timing and everything, and just have this, like.
Have that. Yeah. Boom. That's it. Like this is the umbrella moving forward. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And not saying what San Francisco got, just keeping it what the total released was.
You can have that in a different slide, how much San Francisco got. People will definitely want to know that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So like one macro and one San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. See you Monday.
Thank you all. See you Monday. Bye. All right, cool. So Mark, I have on the agenda for the next like 9 minutes, meeting evaluation and full
council. We can do it quick. I'm a fast talker.
Great.
And a
go for it.
Okay, let's see. Let me find it. Evaluations. Oh, Thomas, you're still with us. For some reason, I thought you were leaving the meeting. Let's see. Excellent. Okay, does everyone see this?
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay, this is for the priority setting and resource allocation meeting of last month. It looks like first question, information received adequately prepared them. 14 said yes. They agreed. 2 said they somewhat agreed. Pretty good. Meeting was run efficiently by yours truly. Looks like 100% said yes, it was. And looks like I don't need to go over all of the compliments, of course. I've already read and reread them to myself many times at night. There is a good comment here about the idea of I think it's kind of implied that because we ended up early, finishing early, we didn't need to cut off conversation as I did on one particular motion. So definitely, even though this was kind of subtly mentioned, heard and received and heard. Let's see what else. Vanna Mark does an awesome job, brings humor, polite, efficient, da 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 da. I like this one. Great facilitator, always fun laughing at Mark. Okay. Thank you. Next one is in the discussion and during the meeting, I felt my point of view was adequately expressed and understood. 100% agreed with that. Agenda was well planned. 100% agreed with that. EPI presentation from Sharon Pipkin. 100% agreed that this was a well done presentation. I'm going to be passing on this great feedback for her. Very important information. Excellent. Ton of work went into that. Excellent. Very thorough and clear. Glad to see a slight impact on racial disparities. Great presentation, all caps. Presenter seems so prepared and not flustered. Fantastic presentation, explanation. Well done, easy to follow and understand. And would love to have a follow-up conversation at some point with the council if they had any further questions, since we had to cut the discussion short for the sake of time. So just well-received presentation from Sharon. Yay. Moving on, service summary sheets by Dean. 100% said that they agreed that it was well prepared and relevant. And his compliments were good job. He presented well as always. John did amazing work creating the presentation itself. Well done, Dean. It was wonderful to see him. Thanks, Dean, for stepping in and John for prepping. And Dean's always wonderful. How can one not agree with that? Okay. What worked well for you during this meeting? If these are shorter, I'll read them all. If not, I might skip some of the longer ones. Timing and brevity, really having the work of the council be done in committee before the summit. All the presentations were direct and to the point. Sending out so many of the materials in advance helped the meeting move forward quickly and efficiently. Zoom is becoming easier to use for members and allows the meeting to flow smoothly. Efficient, organized, and facilitated well. Helpful information and appreciate the info that was set out in advance. Highly efficient organizing by the admin team. Thank you. Good that we work through committees throughout the year and come with items already moved. Speed, materials, and presenters. Everything. Clear explanation of process, efficient time management. While it was quite an ambitious agenda, it was nice to balance the time for the meeting with addressing some of the needed questions. Flow. It was very efficient and no tech difficulties. Smooth. Good presentations. Facilitator got out early. All right, moving on. My needs as a council member are being met during this time. 15 agreed. 1 said somewhat agree. Comments were all good. Love Zoom, works well for these meetings. Appreciate DoorDash. I am curious which service categories are most utilized by the populations with a disparate burden of new HIV cases or deaths. Black men and women, Latino men, trans women, PWID, homeless, and whether prioritizing these categories would help address disparities. I wonder what DPH believes might account for the slight closing of these racial gaps and how the council can support and scale up these successes. Thank you, smiley face. And then that's great. I think we need to hold this as steering. This is a good question. I mean, it certainly is contemplating the success and why there has been success, but also wanting to know what are the most important service categories for these groups that are experiencing perhaps the most challenges. And the last comment here, difficult format to engage, especially with such a large group, perhaps consider occasional breakout sessions on Zoom. We are considering that, perhaps even for the January meeting to start us off. And then finally, the meeting was rated 9.7, which is the highest rating for a meeting this year, I'm pleased to say. Any questions or thoughts on this evaluation?
All right, seeing none, hopefully, I'd like to move forward then to the final topic, our full council agenda in November full council.
Okay, Mark. So this will be three different parts and hopefully we'll speed through. We might go a couple minutes over 4:30, just want to warn people in advance, but hopefully not. So a quick look at the full council draft agenda. It is ambitious, as you all already know. It's going to be a 2.5-hour meeting, as you all already determined. So the first half is going to be, which means we're restricting it. We're not going to be having general updates from across the different representatives, including CHEP and HHS, and we're not having our State Office of AIDS update. Four presentations is a lot for one meeting. So after we renew Charles Cerrone, there'll be two county reports, San Mateo and Marin, which we'll also vote to approve their priority setting and their resource allocation. And then first for the Zoom meetings, we'll take a break. I think a break is absolutely necessary if there's going to be four PowerPoints. So a 10-minute break for people to do whatever. And then coming back, we're getting the Getting to Zero update. And we're also going to be looking at a hopefully shorter version of what we just saw, as well as a motion that's on the floor. Just to keep in mind, for these county ones, there's no motion on the floor, so that the co-chair, David, will have to, or myself, I can always jump in as well, will have to call for a move to approve for both these. There'll be no need to call to a move to approve because already on the floor for the ETE. It'll be just discussion and vote post PowerPoint. And that is the agenda for Monday's meeting. Ambitious, but I think we can do it, and hopefully people coffee up before they start the meeting. Okay, any questions on that full council meeting on Monday? Y'all prepared? Excited for it? Very good.
Ready.
Ready. Great. Yes, Juba.
All right.
And then the last one is, so this is, I don't know if we're going to finish this in 1 minute, but we might. So there's been a sad, I wouldn't call it a disaster, but a confluence of sad forces have meant that we're receiving neither of the presentations that Council Affairs has determined would occur in November. We're not receiving the overdue ARIES report, nor are we receiving our CQI quality assurance report, which we usually receive in November, because many factors make it actually impossible for HHS to bring either of those. However, Dean and Kevin have come up with, I think, some really exciting ideas. Kevin is willing to do a presentation on quality management, and that actually will mean that we could have a discussion on trainings, necessary trainings that for the community, meaning service providers and certainly any council members and government people who want to go. The second one I'm even more excited about, which is around perhaps a trainer coming to talk to the council and maybe training council members around. Kevin, take it away.
Regarding QM, you know that we do these QM trainings. They're a slice of the Part A funding goes to the QM program, and part of that is for trainings to be conducted with frontline workers. I know Derek has attended several of these. We've covered a variety of topics from burnout to motivational interviewing, but I thought maybe a review of the fiscal year 1920 trainings that we've done might be helpful. And that would just be a simple, straightforward review of what we did, perhaps the learning objectives and some data that I have on evaluations. And then the second one that Mark was talking about being kind of excited about, I'm excited about it too. Look, we all know what's happened in recent months with police violence and racial unrest and just the strain on our social fabric. So perhaps we thought it might be a good idea to bring in Natalie Thorson, who is just an exquisite trainer in these topic areas. Let me just read some of the training she's done for us in the past. Tools, well, she's done de-escalation, but that's not her favorite topic. Her métier is social justice, racial justice, gender justice issues, supporting trans system involved clients, understanding sex, gender identity, alignment and assignment, group facilitation skills for social justice conversations, understanding and interrupting the cycle of oppression, racism and white privilege, navigating difficult personal conversations on racial inequity, effectively supporting a safe, inclusive spaces for LGBTQ clients and colleagues, unearthing implicit bias. I attended that, it was quite good. Working effectively with diverse populations. So you get a sense of what her métier is. It's social justice. Now, I have had a brief conversation with her about this. She can attend Council Affairs on November 10th. She actually would prefer November 23rd if we decide to do this. She also could make November 30th, but that's less preferred.
Okay. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We have yet to determine right. That. So hopefully, if I could jump in, Kevin, because we are over time now. The main goal then with the second one being something that's actually based around racial justice, social justice, anti-racism. So for her to bring her topics within that particular framing to Council Affairs to discuss, well, which of these would Council Affairs like to see to actually close out the council's year, which I think would be really powerful. It would be the last presentation of the last full council meeting of 2020, a year where race has been in the
forefront. So here's my question, Mark. Are you considering this to be sort of one of her trainings, or are you considering this a discussion about the QM trainings generally and what directions they might
take? I'm seeing this as two, because we need two presentations. So I'm seeing you as leading the QM one as a whole discussion of a review of what you've done, and then maybe a discussion that you or whoever's facilitating, it actually might be Thomas facilitating in November about, well, what trainings also would you like to see beyond that? Natalie coming with a training of her own, which she'll actually discuss with Council Affairs. I don't want to make that determination. The council needs to make that determination, but she has her list of topics that she can portray to Council Affairs, and they can decide together what would be for the best. So I just wanted to.
How much time would she have? Would you imagine?
Over half an hour. It's only two presentations, so we can work around.
I don't think she was not at all interested in doing a half an hour presentation. Not a training per se.
But Kevin,
we could have a discussion about what trainings are needed to be fit within the QM program. What areas are topical? What is the council interested in? Frontline.
Would she be able to do something that's much longer, like say a 45 minute to an hour one?
Yes. Yeah, she said she would really push for an hour. But
then we can do it. We can make yours, if you don't mind, super
absolutely short. I'm for that, Mark.
Yeah. Make yours super short and make hers in some ways just
in fact we could kind of coordinate a little
the
bit.
The last hour of the training. I mean of the council. Yeah.
That works. So an hour, you are looking for like a training that she would normally give to our programs.
Yes, and that's what council have been asking for, are more explicit trainings to occur beyond the ones that I give the council. Mine, I do every year, and they don't even feel like trainings anymore. They just seem like updates on a mandate.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think can do an hour then. I'll tell her that she has an hour. It'll still be an abbreviated version of those trainings.
Okay. I need to cut everybody off because we're just going back and forth. Thomas, do you have anything to say? And then other council members on the Zoom call today, like Ed or Irma, about this idea? Or Juba, Derek?
It sounds good to me. I'm sorry, excuse me.
Go for it.
No, I'm looking forward. No, she sounds cool. I'm looking forward to the presentation.
Same here. I support it for sure.
Ed said yes. Thomas, ideas?
I was concerned about the December training and the timing, or the December meeting. So I wasn't sure if this person can actually bring something that's of value in an hour, maybe, like if they're gonna, it's something we need to discuss as a community. I think we should give it as much time as we can.
Where can we discuss this? Because we need to cut this meeting short now.
We can continue. If we can have this as a framework moving forward, we're going to invite her to Council Affairs to further flesh this out. Just as a reminder, Thomas, this is actually the November meeting we're talking about, not the December. There is no December meeting scheduled. However, if the Council Affairs wants to have a conversation about a follow-up or whatever, that can certainly occur in Council Affairs.
Okay.
But now there is no, because it would occur during the Christian holiday. And so then the last part here is for this group to determine whether it would like the full council to meet on the 23rd or the 30th. It would normally meet on the 23rd, that's the fourth Monday, but of course that falls within the Thanksgiving week. I don't know if people are actually taking that entire week off, some do. Or we could have it on the fifth Monday, which is the 30th. The council has determined in the past both. Sometimes some years they've chosen, let's just risk the Monday of Thanksgiving. Other times they said, let's not risk it. Let's do the Monday following Thanksgiving. What do you all want to do?
I think that if we're going to have such a presentation, it would be nice if the majority of the members are present. So
should we bring it up on Monday then?
Can we actually bring it up on Monday? And then can we actually say hey, this Survey Monkey or whatever is going to be going out post this meeting. And we're going to tally those things, and whatever wins, it wins.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. You both. Yeah.
I still say the beginning of before Thanksgiving, just give it a thought, y'all. Because everybody will still be here.
So yeah. We'll put that and let democracy decide.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you all. That's it. We've ended. Ciao, ciao, ciao. Have a good evening, and I'll see you all on Monday. Thank you for staying with us.
Thank you all. Dave, can you stay on if you're still there?
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Valerie, also, can you stay on for just a second?
Thanks, y'all. Bye.